Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
This is a season of year that especially calls us to worship, to gratitude, and worship of the Lord Jesus Christ changes everything else about your life. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we're going to study Worship 101. Stay with us. Often it is what we worship that drives everything else in our life. What we worship is what consumes our devotion, our affection, our attention. And friend, today on Daily in the Word, we're going to study the subject of worship. Worship 101 is the series. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and the preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We hope you'll join us every Monday through Friday through this season as we discover worship and as we learn more about the Christ of Christmas. You can find out more about Pastor Chappell on his blog at paulchappell.com. Also, you can find out more about Daily in the Word at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. But now we begin this series, Worship 101, with a message entitled Worshiping Thankfully. Here's Paul Chappell.
Well, in recent years, we've had the advent of the Cooking Channel in America. How many of you have ever seen the Cooking Channel? And a lot of people watch it, and they say because of that, that the two most popular selling books or kinds of books in the bookstores now are cookbooks and diet books. The cookbooks tell you how to prepare it, and the diet books tell you not to eat it. And that seems to be the way of life, isn't it? My wife, Terry, who's seated here this morning, she loves the fall season. She always has. And she decorates our home in fall colors and around Thanksgiving. In fact, this morning I saw one of the counters there in the kitchen. It looked like a bakery. She's getting ready for this week. And she loves to have family time and bake things for friends and neighbors. And it's just always been a wonderful time of year for her. I've never really understood it all, but I've enjoyed it. You know what I mean? I'm glad that she enjoys to cook and cooking and getting the house decorated like that. And she also likes to buy a lot of magazines around this time of year that deal with home decor and cooking and baking and so forth. And in fact, I saw one of them on the coffee table the other day. And again, I don't really understand all about these types of things because they're sometimes confusing to me. But this particular magazine says, burn calories, stop cravings, walk it off. Low-cal tacos, enchiladas, fajitas, and more. By the way, how many of you are like me? If you're going to have a taco, you want all the calories. Amen? But it's like these magazines, I've noticed a lot of them, they tend to talk about low-calorie and walking it off and burning off fat and so forth and so on. And then you kind of get into it and you open it up and you begin to look through it and there's nothing about low calorie on the inside of it. In fact, here's an article about dark chocolate, exquisite cookie, perfect harmony. It has a woman swimming in chocolate inside this magazine. And I told my wife, this is confusing people. I mean, they're talking about how to walk it off and have low calories, and every other page is a recipe for some fattening dish. So it's a little bit confusing. It's a little double-minded. And it seems like that's how some people approach worship. You know, at first there's this really intense desire to know God, and somewhere in the process they lose the zeal and they just kind of fall back into the lazy fleshly habits of self and never really get as close to God as we want to. You know, the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in what? All of his ways. And so we're here this morning to focus on the Lord. That's why we gather together and open the Word of God. We want to focus on the Lord. And nothing will cause us to do that like just taking some time to count our benefits, taking some time to look at the cross, taking some time to remember how good God really is. And I pray this morning that when we leave this room in a few moments, we won't be double-minded, but we'll be solely focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will be giving Him the thanks that is due to Him. Now, how can we worship Him with a pure heart? And how can we worship Him this morning with a thankful heart? Well, notice if you would in our text today, in the first place, we're going to see the witness of God's people. God says, I want my people to witness for me. I want my people to talk about me. I want my people to lift my name up. Verse 1, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. I want you to see in this verse that we are invited to testify. Oh, come, he says. Come, let's get together. Let's gather together and let us testify about the greatness of our God. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 107 in verse 2. It says these words, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Would you say that with me? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. One more time. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God says, I want to hear from you. I want you to let it be known, to testify. Oh, come, he says, let us sing unto the Lord. In fact, three times in these two verses, we see the little phrase, let us, and let us. God is saying to us, he wants us to come together corporately and magnify his name. And so we're here today to testify of his greatness. We've been singing about it together. Great is thy faithfulness. How great thou art. We're reading about it together. Now we're having a time of preaching and hearing about it. We are invited to testify. But notice also in this passage, we are instructed in praise. God not only invites us to do something, he shows us how. And the Bible tells us that we are to praise his holy name. We're to make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Last week we saw in Hebrews 13 and verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. God says, I want to hear your praise. We can praise the Lord in many ways. We've seen that we can praise him in song. The Bible says that in verse 1, let us sing unto the Lord. I know some folks say, well, I don't have a real good voice and I don't know a lot about the words. Let me tell you something. If you're a new Christian, you need to learn the words to some of these songs. Don't take the attitude, well, I don't know this, I'll listen to everyone else sing. Get that book out, look up on those screens. You need to learn songs like, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I'm glad here at Lancaster Baptist Church, we still sing some of these hymns that have some doctrine and some depth and some majesty. You know, a lot of churches today are singing these 7-Eleven songs. They sing seven words 11 times over and over and over and over. And some of them are okay for a while, but I'm just saying today, the songs that we sing at this church are prayerfully selected. They are doctrinally correct. And they are spiritual songs. That is, they appeal to the spiritual part of a man. Someone says, well, I want to feel like I'm at the nightclub on Friday night. You're not at a nightclub. You're at church. And we're here to worship the Lord. We're not here to worship ourselves or the person up on the platform singing. We are here to get close to God. And the Bible says, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise. You know, that's what we're going to do in heaven. The Bible says in Revelation 5 and verse 9, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You know what we're going to sing up in heaven? We're going to sing, thou art worthy, Lord. Thou art worthy. How many of you believe he's worthy this morning? I believe he's worthy. And so we praise him in song. We praise him, secondly, with thanksgiving. The Bible says in verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. You know what we did a moment ago, having a dear man from this church, one of our deacons, Brother John Alvarez, he stood up here and he just gave thanks. You know, that's Bible. You know, it's not a bad thing to walk into your Sunday school class on Sunday morning and say, I just want to thank God he blessed me at work this week. I want to thank God my husband got saved. I want to thank God my teenager came home. Whatever the case might be, we're to give thanks to the Lord. We're to come before him with thanksgiving. Someone told me years ago that thankfulness is thankfulness. Let's say that together. Thankfulness. Now, why does that help me? Because when I stop and think about God and about the cross and about salvation, all of a sudden I get thankful. When I just take time to meditate on the goodness of our God. Someone said a bad moment for an atheist is when he feels grateful but has no one to thank. Aren't you glad you have someone to thank this morning? We can enter into his presence with thanksgiving. Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Someone says, I want to know God's will. I want to know what God wants me to do today and tomorrow and for the rest of my life. Well, my friend, I can't give you all the answers, but I can tell you in one certain point, it is the will of God that you would give thanks today. That's the will of God for your life. Now, sometimes we give thanks when things are going our way. I heard about a family that went out for lunch, and the waitress came by and gave their little boy a bowl with a scoop of ice cream in it, and the little boy said, thank you. And the waitress was taken back. She said, wow, you don't hear that from kids much these days. And she said, I like it when little boys say thank you to me like that. The little boy said, throw another scoop on, you'll hear it again. Now, sometimes we've learned in this culture that you're supposed to say thanks so you can get more. But I want to tell you something, if we never got anything more, we've got plenty to be thankful for. In everything, give thanks. And so God's word is very clear that we come to him and we testify in these ways. I suppose there are many reasons we do not give thanks like we should. I think sometimes we do not give thanks because of comparison. The Bible says comparing ourselves with ourselves, we're not wise. We look at someone, we think they have more than maybe we should have some of that, and so we're not as thankful as we could be. Sometimes we do not give thanks because we have a spirit of expectation. Someone's expecting something, and they didn't get it, so they don't say thank you. You're expecting a dollar raise, you get a 50-cent raise, but because you didn't get what you wanted, you're not thankful. Folks, don't set yourself up that way. Sometimes little fellas at Christmas can do that to themselves. Maybe you did it to yourself as a little guy. Maybe a little fellow wants a new game for his television game, and he wants this particular game, and boy, he's just so expectant, and he shows his mom the magazine articles, and he shows his mom the television commercial, and he says, Mom, here's the game, whatever it's called, Game Boy, Xbox, I don't understand all of it, but he wants this particular one. Christmas morning comes, it's time to open the big present. He opens the big present, and it's Tinker Toys. And he's not thankful for the Tinker Toys because he was expecting something else. Let me tell you what, the foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing. Why did they do that? Why don't I get to do that? Folks, why do we set ourselves up for it in the first place? You see, sometimes we're not thankful because we have a discontented spirit. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. Having food and raiment therewith, let us be content. And sometimes we're not thankful because we're just flat out too busy to stop and give thanks. That's why I'm glad that I live in the United States of America, where our founding fathers and leaders throughout the years have had enough sense to know, you know what, we better stop and just thank the God who created us. And I know there are many who are pushing that concept outside of the square of our public discussion, but I'm thankful for the Christian heritage in America, and one evidence of our Christian heritage is that we would have a holiday to give thanks. Hey folks, atheists don't give thanks, Christians do. This is a Christian nation. Be thankful for it. Now then, we praise God with song, we praise God with thanksgiving, we praise God with doctrine. I want you to notice this in verse 3. It says, for the Lord is a great God. I'm reminded of the words of Thomas after his doubting was put to bed, so to speak, by the Lord Jesus. And he looked at Jesus and he said, my Lord and my God. By the way, Jesus did not say, don't call me God. Jesus received this, you see. We understand the Mohammedans deny that Jesus Christ is God. We understand the Mormons deny that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. We understand that many false religions deny the deity of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. If you don't have the right doctrine, you're not worshiping. And the glue that holds us together as a body is our doctrine or our set of beliefs. And around here, we believe that God did have a son and his name is Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth, was born of the Virgin Mary, lived a perfectly sinless life. And on that 33 and a half years of ministry, at the end of that ministry, he went to the old rugged cross. And there on that cross, he shed his blood for the sins of the entire world. On the third day after his crucifixion, up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. Let me tell you something. That's the doctrine that brings us together. That's why we give thanks today, because we have a wonderful Savior. Someone said the pilgrims made seven times more graves than they did houses. Seven times more graves than houses, but they still gave thanks. You know why? Because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trials come and trials go, but there's always something for which to give thanks. And I want to tell you something. We have a great Savior. And the Bible says in Romans 14 and verse 11, as the Lord saith, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And so this morning we see the witness of the people. God says, come. Come on, let's get together. Let's sing about it. Let's praise the Lord. Let's give thanks. Come on now, let's witness for the Lord. Hey, let me tell you something. When you're at work at Northrop or Boeing or over at the hospital or out at a construction job, do you know it's all right to go ahead at lunchtime and bow your head and pray for your meal? Now, maybe you'll pray silently. Maybe you'll say to your friend there, you don't mind if I pray, do you? Some of them will, some of them won't. It is not against the law to give thanks for your meal. I was at a luncheon some time back with a bunch of businessmen from here in town, and there was a pastor seated next to me, and the pastor from here in town who looked at me and said, well, I'm under grace, and I've already prayed this morning that God would bless the day, so I guess we don't need to pray for the food. Let's just go ahead and eat. My soul, here we are with unsaved people all around us. I said, if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and give thanks. Hey, folks, let's not be ashamed of our Savior. Let's not be ashamed to recognize that without Him, we wouldn't have that food to eat. You see? The fact of the matter is God wants us to talk it up. God wants us to lift Him up. And I'm not talking about getting on a soapbox and trying to be goofy about it. I'm just saying, don't act like you're not a Christian. Don't act like there's not someone to thank. Don't be ashamed of the fact that you're a Christian this week. You might be with some unsaved relatives this week, and maybe you could ask Uncle Zeke if he'd let you give thanks for the meal. And go ahead and just thank God for His provision. The witness of God's people. He says, come on now, let's get together and let's lift up my name. Notice secondly, the worship of God's people. This is what we're talking about today. Worship. How do we worship Him? Very quickly, verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Would you read that verse with me now? Verse 6, ready to begin. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us before the Lord our Maker. Now here we see that God wants our worship. And we're going to learn this morning that worship is both subjective and objective. That is, we worship God with our attitude as well as with our actions. So notice if you would, first of all, we worship God in our attitude. The attitude is expressed in verse 6 with the words, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. What is it when we kneel? Last night we had men's prayer in this room with 60 or 70 men, and we shared prayer requests, and then we kneeled down in prayer. Why does the Bible speak at times about kneeling? Why did the Lord Jesus kneel in the Garden of Gethsemane? What is this? It is a picture of the heart attitude. Here the Bible says, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Now, in worshiping the Lord from the heart, why is it that we can come to the Lord humbly and worship Him in this way? Let me give you a few quick reasons. First of all, because we are secure in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are secure in Him, and we thank Him. The Bible says in verse 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord, let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. How many of you are glad you're standing on the rock this morning? The songwriter said, on Christ the solid rock I stand. If you are not saved this morning, that is, if you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you do not know today that your sins have been forgiven, then you are not standing on the rock. You are on the shifting sands of this world's philosophy. But when someone receives Christ as their Savior, now they have put their faith in Christ, the rock of our salvation. It's in your notes there, 1 Corinthians 10:4. For they drank of that spiritual rock that did follow them, and that rock was Christ. Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. I'm glad today that I'm not trusting in a church or a denomination to forgive my sin, but I have put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I hope you put your faith in Christ today. I hope you're not here trying to get to heaven with your good works. I'm glad to let you know today that we are saved by grace and by faith in Jesus Christ. I'm glad to let you know today that you can come before the Lord and you can bow your knee to Him because He has secured your salvation. But notice we're not only secure in a Savior. The Bible says here that we have a trust in our King. We're secure in our Savior. We're trusting in our King. Verse 3 says, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. I'm glad this morning to let you know that the kingdoms of this world will all become the kingdoms of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:17, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Sometimes we hear about kingdoms rising against kingdoms, and we hear about the United Nations, and they're concerned about global warming, and they're concerned about all of the wars and all of the problems in the world. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. I'm glad to know that this world is going to end exactly when Jesus Christ wants it to end. And when He decides to come on back and call His children home and establish His righteousness after the great tribulation, when the Lord Jesus decides to do that, He is going to do that on His timing. In fact, the Bible says in Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. In other words, right on God's timetable, Jesus Christ came. And right on God's timetable, Jesus Christ will come again. He is our returning King. Not only is He our Savior and our King, but I see in this passage that we can stand in awe of our Creator. We worship Him with this humble attitude because He is King, because He is Savior, and because He is our Creator. Notice what it says in verse 4. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. I don't know about you, but when I get around the Rocky Mountains or maybe go out to the Pacific Ocean, and I just ponder what God has created, it causes me to have a heart filled with worship and thanksgiving to Him. And if there's a time in your life when you ought to be able to humble yourself before the Lord, it's when you consider all of His attributes. He is the Savior. He is the King. He is the Creator. Hey, I think it's about time to kneel down before Him, don't you? Why? Because of all that He is. Now notice, we worship Him in our attitude. We kneel before Him. Secondly, we worship Him in our actions. You see, we said a moment ago, it's subjective and it's objective. Now, a lot of people are emotionally based. They get a good feeling about worship, but it never translates into their life. God says, I want you to let your worship translate into an evidence, into an offering that is evident.
You've been listening to Pastor Paul Chapel on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying worship. We're discovering how to worship thankfully, prayerfully, with a pure heart and a giving, generous spirit. Friend, worship begins at the very moment of the beginning of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've listened to today's message and you've come to understand you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're religious but lost. Friend, we would encourage you to bow your head and heart and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your Savior. Place 100% of your faith in Him. Trust Him to save you from your sins and to give you His gift of eternal life. That is the very beginning point of a true relationship of worship. You can find out more about this decision and more about the ministry of Paul Chapel and Daily in the Word when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org or when you call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. And you can visit us online and find many resources for your own spiritual growth when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find links to Dr. Chapel's books and other resources. You'll find a complimentary daily devotional that will come to your inbox, your email inbox, every day in the new year. It will help you read through your Bible and walk with the Lord Jesus every day. That's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. Don't forget, you're invited to join Dr. Chapel, our guest speakers, and many Christian friends from around the country for the beautiful Alaska cruise, August 9th through the 16th, 2014. You'll enjoy not only great preaching from the Word of God, you'll enjoy the Christian fellowship, the wonderful music, and the incredible beauty and grandeur of God's creation as seen from on board a wonderful cruise ship through Alaska's Inside Passage. Again, the ship departs August 9th through the 16th, 2014. For more information, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.